On today's insights, why do we need content? Is Facebook going to stop showing users how many people like their posts? And we chat about SparkToro's 2019 Google ranking factors. Today's insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing's Hot Summer Deals. Looking to fire up your marketing or recruiting? Let us help light the fire. To learn more about Haley Marketing's 8 Hot Summer Deals, visit haleymarketing.com/summer. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, a couple of great topics this episode. Facebook might be eliminating their post-like counter. SparkToro published their 2019 Google Ranking Factors Report with opinions from over 1,500 professional SEO strategists. And we start with content. Why do we even need to create content? Ready for the show?
Ready to go, Brad.
All right, let's get it started.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, I wear it on a shirt that says content, 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 and you know we preach the value of content marketing here at Haley Marketing Group, but why do staffing firms need to create content?
There's a short-term and long-term play here, and Brett, to get back to Brett's first point, he really does have a shirt that says content, content, content on it. It's one of, literally one of a kind.
Custom made.
Anyway, to get back to Brett's original point, why do staffing agencies need to focus on content marketing? We want to focus on three different really areas here. And the first one is, you know your target audience. Before we create that content, who are we creating that content for? You're going to work on becoming an authority in your industry for topics that you create content about. And then the ultimate goal is to drive inbound traffic back to your website or maybe even on social media to get to a capture point and to convert them into hopefully future business for your staffing agency.
For me, Matt, content is all about reaching that target audience and thinking through how a great article, a great resource, a great video, podcast episode can ultimately speak to the pain point that your target audience is having. If you think about your target audience, whether that's a potential candidate or an applicant, or maybe a hiring manager, somebody with hiring authority, think through their challenges and put together content that can speak to those pain points. Once we understand who our target audience is, we can think through, okay, what are they going through on a day-to-day basis? And how can my staffing firm help alleviate some of the stress that they're seeing day after day?
And once we've really identified and zeroed in on that target audience, you want to become the authority on those pain points that Brad's been talking about. And it's the pain points, you know, you're the authority because of that image and brand you've built over time. And maybe, you know, I take a step back from staffing. Sometimes we like to look at other analogies. It could be, you know, I'm a big golfer. I see tips about how to become a better golfer in my Facebook feed or LinkedIn feed. Or one I saw actually the other day was from a local medical or health foundation. It was what to expect when your child goes to a sports physical. And that's really good topics to your target audience because they're also authorities on that topic. The Health Foundation isn't writing about golf. They're writing about the physical that's going to happen when you bring your child literally to the primary care physician's office. So switching it back to staffing and recruiting, you think about the pain points. You think about why someone doesn't like their job. On the client side, you think about, you know, why are there so many no-shows among my employees? What can that staffing agency do to drive better candidates to your warehouse, to your healthcare facility? So the pain points that each of those two sides of your target audience sees, whether it's the recruiting side or that new business side, that's a great way to create and structure content that will develop yourself as an authority with your target audience.
And if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, that's all great and it sounds great in theory, why do I have to create content though? That comes back to Matt's point about driving inbound traffic. If you're looking at the landscape of content marketing, there is a ton of different resources out there that are available to job seekers and potential hiring managers. You want to create content specifically for your staffing or recruiting firm because you want to drive that traffic back to your homeland. You want to be seen as the authority figure. You want to be seen as the individual who can answer those challenging questions, because otherwise your competitor is going to answer those questions on their blog, and those candidates, those hiring managers, are going to go to their website where they can then take action and learn from that article. We want to instead funnel that traffic to you, funnel that traffic to your homeland and your website.
And that different types of content are going to be for different types of audiences. That active candidate or active, you know, maybe business owner that's looking for a new staff agency, that's where you really drive that quick conversion content. But those passive candidates, or maybe the business owner that isn't quite sure if they want to make a switch with their staffing agency, that's where you build up that relationship over time to really develop and nurture that relationship, because it, you know, used to be 6 to 12 touch points. Now it, you know, it could easily be 10 to 20 different touch points, whether it's through content, advertisements, you know, any different way your staffing agency and your recruiters interact with those businesses, whether it's through social media or email, on how you distribute that content. So however you can really use and leverage your content you've created for your staffing agency to drive that inbound traffic, that's where it really drives back into helping your business grow and develop and really get more applications and get more, essentially, contact us submissions.
And on previous episodes of Insights, Matt and I have talked about how to create that content strategy, how to create the blueprint for a content marketing strategy, what articles you should be sharing and creating, what articles you should be talking about. The point of this segment here is the why. Getting back to our why we create and produce content, it's all about reaching that target audience. It's all about being seen as that authority figure on a given topic, because candidly, if you don't answer those questions, candidates are still going to ask them into Google search. They're still going to want the information that they're requesting. We are positioning you, you're positioning yourself as that thought leader to ultimately drive inbound traffic from SEO or social media. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, Matt and I are going to discuss the recent changes to Facebook. Are they eliminating that Facebook like counter?
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out haleymarketing.com/summer.
Social reach.
Matt, a few episodes ago, we talked about how Instagram was beginning to beta test a new layout that removed post likes, so that individuals wouldn't be able to see how many people liked an image or video. Well, a post on TechCrunch that was published on September 2nd shows that Facebook is now starting to test the same. The current head of Instagram and former head of newsfeed at Facebook, Adam Mosseri, said in an interview with CBS News, one of the ideas we're currently experimenting with is the like counts being private, for instance, because we don't want Instagram to be such a competition. We want it to be a place where people spend more of their energy connecting with the people that they love and the things that they care about. Matt, where do you stand on this?
I have two thoughts here. One, this makes a whole heck of a lot of sense because Facebook and Instagram aren't the same company, but are the same company. Right. So that's step one. Step two, I've been thinking about this as well since Brad's been pretty passionate about this. We talked about it in episode 62.
Sure.
When Instagram started to roll this out in a beta test, and I'm not sure, you know, who's seeing it or whatnot, but if Facebook's going to start rolling it out, it'll reach a different audience. But it's very interesting to me because we've grown to almost have this emotional reaction to 100 likes on a post versus 10. And to me, I think what my main thought right now on how this is going to play out will be, how does that play into the algorithm of Facebook? Because the content that you've liked in the past, or maybe the content that your network and followers like, is probably going to show up at the top of your feed. So you might not directly see how many likes are on your posts in a public forum, but that post that's getting the most engagement is probably going to be at the top of your algorithm. So to sum it up, I'm not really sure where I'm at with this, but I think it's growing on me because I'm starting to embrace that change a little bit more.
Matt, there's scientific research that shows the same amount of dopamine is released in the brain when you see a like on Facebook as when you eat delicious food or make money. So if we think about the fact that Facebook users are posting on Facebook just to get a mental lift of dopamine, we think about that, then everything that we're doing on Facebook makes no sense. We on Insights now for 22 episodes have talked about how every post has to have a purpose.
Yes.
How we need to come back to our business goals and have smart, aligned business goals. That we're not competing on Facebook with bands and sports teams and models, but we are positioning ourselves as thought leaders and experts, ultimately trying to drive more applications and job orders. We cannot be posting on Facebook just to have feel-good stats like post likes on Facebook. So I'm all for this move. I'm all for the move on Facebook. I'm all for the move on Instagram because good content will always cut through the clutter. It doesn't matter how many page likes it has or post likes it has. Good content will continue to cut through the clutter.
To really tie together our three segments here today, the first segment we talked about why content, and that's where these likes kind of come into play with. If you create that really good content, it's going to break through the clutter. It doesn't matter if it's 300 words or 3,000 words. The best content will win in the end. This comes from someone who scrolls through Twitter faster than most people could probably even imagine what I do. And this also comes from my co-host who has the attention span of a goldfish. The good content will win. So if you don't need those likes there, if you can really create, and we're not talking about just written content too. It could be video content, it can be audio content, it could be imagery. We're doing this in the beginning of September. If you're on Facebook now, it's all back to school content. And that really good content is going to the top of feed. So pushing this also forward to a little bit of spoiler alert for segment three, where we're talking about the SEO ranking factor survey. The number one point was content. And we'll dig into that with Dan a little bit later, but good content's going to win. It's what goes at the top of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn now. And it's also what's at the top of a Google search. It's literally the best answer to a question. So when you actually kind of go into Facebook and Instagram, the best answer to your question is, what do you want to see from your feed that day? And that's where, if we don't need to have those feel-good stats, those billboard stats right at the front and center, we're going to evaluate the content on its breadth, on its depth, on its value. And that's what we're going to see at the top of feeds, and it's going to make social media better.
Matt, I love that take. I have very little to add to that take. All that I want to say is, from a staffing and recruiting standpoint, we always want to come back to our goals. We don't want to rely on vanity metrics like post likes on Facebook. Instead, we want to know that every post had a purpose and continues to have a purpose. When we post across social media, we should be able to understand what that post resulted in the form of applications or job orders. We should be able to track all of that data through our job board software. If you're competing on Facebook for post likes, for engagement, well, then you need to rethink your strategy. Ultimately, we want to drive more applications and more job orders. So this update from Facebook shouldn't be a major concern to you. Instead, it's just another platform change to be aware of.
Seen and heard.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Haley Marketing's search engine optimization strategist, Dan Hong. Dan, welcome to Insights.
Thanks for having me.
Today, SparkToro, led by founder Rand Fishkin, who also co-founded Moz, released their 2019 Google Ranking Factors report, which contained opinions from 1,500 plus professional SEOs. When we look at what matters most from the opinion of over 1,500 search engine optimization experts, the top five ranking factors are: 1, relevance of overall page content; 2, quality of linking sites and pages; 3, use of query-related words and phrases; 4, domain perceived expertise, authority, and trust; and 5, mobile friendliness. Guys, let's break this down, starting with the number one ranking factor from SparkToro, which was relevance of overall page content. Dan, why don't you explain that for us?
Sure. So essentially, think about what Google's goal is. Google's goal is to provide the best result that matches what the user typed in. So essentially, the most important factor when it comes to content is having a result that matches exactly what the user typed in. That way you are that best result. That way you are the best result that answers the question that they had typed in.
So Google, Bing, Yahoo, these main search engines, they want to return the best possible answer. They want to be seen as this authority figure so that when you search, you're taking to the correct answer. So relevance of overall page content being the number one ranking factor makes complete sense. If you're just stuffing keywords onto a page, that's not a relevant answer for that question.
Right. And what you really need to understand is the concept of what they call search intent. So not just, you know, a keyword that somebody typed in. That's not really what Google's looking for. Search intent essentially means, you know, why did the user perform the search? Right? Not just what they typed in, but what they really meant and what they're really looking for.
Dan, if we can just think about a quick example here, I know we had tasked you with doing some keyword research for the Secrets of Staffing Success podcast, and you really went into a comprehensive analysis to understand how we could drive more traffic to the podcast. Why don't you walk us through search intent and what you discovered in researching for the podcast specifically?
Sure. Yeah. So in that one example that you had mentioned, you had said that you wanted us to rank for best recruiting podcast. That was our main keyword, right? And, you know, your initial idea with that was to create a press release talking, and then we mention our podcast, and then we use the keyword best recruiting podcast, hoping that we'll rank for it. However, I went in and actually did the research and looked at the Google search results to see what Google really thinks is relevant when somebody types in best recruiting podcast. And when somebody types that keyword in, you know, you see that Google is showing a full page of list posts that are just listing out, you know, a bunch of different podcasts. Essentially, the search intent for that is somebody who searches that term is looking for a list of different podcasts that they could potentially listen to that they would find interesting, you know. So if we were to write a press release and, you know, put in the keyword best recruiting podcast in it, that doesn't really match that search. According to Google, that's not relevant to that search query. So there's no way we'll rank for that.
So if you're thinking about, well, how can I relate this to my staffing and recruiting firm? I think the best suggestion here would be to think about what keyword you might want to rank for. Type it into Google. Type in that best staffing firm in Lehigh Valley. See what shows up. What other intent? What does Google want to show? And then create content that's either similar or consider a different keyword. Am I hearing you right there, Dan?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, what I always like to say is Google will tell you the whole story. Google will tell you what it wants to rank, you know. So that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, take a look at the content that's at the top and copy it exactly, but just take a look at the type of content that is showing up and kind of structure yours off of that.
Sure. Let's talk through the second ranking factor from the 2019 SparkToro Google Ranking Factors report that we'll include a link to in the show notes. The second ranking factor, Dan and Matt, quality of linking sites and pages. Dan, why don't you explain for us what backlinks are and why they're important?
Sure. So essentially, a backlink is when another website links to your website. Now, why is that important? Well, the thing is, if you think about a search engine, search engines are really based on the idea of trust. And essentially, when another website links to your website, it's a vote of trust for your website. So, you know, why is that so important in Google's algorithm? You know, why is it the number two thing right behind content? Well, the thing is, if you think about it, you know, there are, for any given topic, there are hundreds of different websites that are creating content on that exact same topic, and all of them are good. You know, there's a lot of really good quality content out there. So how does Google know which site to rank at the top, what, you know, what goes in rank 1, 2, 3, and 4? And more importantly, how do they do this algorithmically? You know, there really isn't somebody sitting there looking at two posts and saying this one should be at the top.
People forget that.
Yeah. Or, you know, they have an algorithm, and, you know, by definition, there are a set of rules that they need to look at. So there needs to be some sort of measurable metric that they can look at to decide, you know, this one should rank at the very top. And that will essentially boil down to links, backlinks, referring domains, other authoritative sites that Google already sees as trustworthy, linking to your site.
So Dan, how can staffing firms generate more backlinks?
You know, if you think about it, it really stems back to the idea of creating good content, creating content that people will like to share and actually link to. So a good way to generate backlinks is, one, to just try to get your content, get more eyeballs on your content. So that could be, you know, manually outreaching to people to share your content. That could be being more active on social media. That could be, you know, reaching out to your vendors and trying to, you know, maybe submit a testimonial and say, you know, hey, would you mind, you know, linking back to our website? You know, there's a ton of different ways to create a good backlinking campaign, but everything will stem back to the content. You need to create content that people will naturally like to link to.
And before we wrap up this segment, I want to talk about one more point from the 2019 Google Ranking Factors Report by SparkToro. And again, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Their fifth top ranking factor was mobile friendliness. And I know at Haley Marketing Group, our tech team just issued a report this morning that said 56% of traffic to all websites hosted by Haley Marketing Group in the month of August came from a mobile device. To me, that's staggering. That's the highest we've seen to date. Dan, Matt, why do we think mobile traffic is so important in 2019, and why is it such a big ranking factor?
It's a ranking factor because 56% of traffic is on mobile, and that's just staffing industry. That's not e-commerce industry or other industry, and it's just what Google has come out and said. It's going to make mobile a priority, so it has its own, you know, the mobile optimizer that you can run your websites through to see what works well, what doesn't work well. And, you know, sitting here listening to Dan, he can kind of speak on mobile here in a second. It's, you know, you need good content, you need a lot of backlinks, but then you also need the guts of the website, I think, to be really good. You need that mobile to be good. You need some clean, fresh images. You need the load speed to be really quick. So whatever you can do to really have the, you know, the content good, the backlinks really strong, but then also that mobile piece, it's not going away. And it's might not be mobile, you know, not only it might be a mobile first or mobile only kind of strategy in the next few years on what's going to really drive SEO and search results on Google.
Yeah, and also, you know, one thing to note is that in early 2019, Google actually switched to what they called the mobile first indexing, where they'll actually take a look at the mobile version of your content first when they're considering, you know, where a site should rank and how they're indexing the site, you know, in general. So that's mainly just because, you know, more people are using mobile, and you know, this trend is not dying down. You know, every year you'll see more and more mobile, and, you know, it's kind of Google accounting for that.
I think it really comes down to the overall candidate experience. If people are coming to your website and they're having a bad experience, Google sees that they're not returning to your website, and that shows as a ranking factor as well. If somebody's coming to your website and they're leaving after a few seconds because they have to pinch and zoom to get to different sections of the homepage, Google understands that, and Google therefore doesn't rank you favorably in those search results. Dan, I want to thank you for coming on today's show and sharing your insights with us. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. Have a question for us? You can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. My podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.